what tempo is, I mean, at some point it's going to be too fast for me, so don't.
One, go. Two. I'm just kidding. Relax.
Those are like 30 second notes you were playing, right?
Yeah, right. How about badoo badoo bee doo dee boop bee da ba da ba doo doo bee dee bee dee da. One, two, a one, two, three.
Thank you.
Don't ask me what I think, but so Dan and a few of the other teachers that teach all these ensembles, they do that all the time, where the bass is a part of the training. It's a part of trying to include everybody, you know, especially if there's no bass solo on the tune, whatever the how the chips fall on that tune on that day. I don't do that.
Okay.
I just trade with the drums. And the bass player either got a solo or doesn't want one on this tune or it's not necessary at this tune, and the bass player gets a beautiful solo on the ballad and everybody buys them a beer and they cry and it's like,
wow.
Man, you quoted Danny Boy and I thought of my father, man.
Let me buy you a beer, man.
You know. But no, I don't do very rarely. When I play with Joe Hunt, he likes to change things up a lot like that. So, you know, it's just a matter of, for me, it again, bags the feel a little bit. And the point of training is to feature the drums. Mm-hmm. So why have it come down like that unnecessarily? We're trying to build something up, not let something self deflate or whatever. So that's, I don't prefer the energy of that. That doesn't mean it's not fun to change things up. I've done it with Joe. What he likes to do is everybody gets fours and it goes around like this. It's not you and then one of us and then you and then one of us and then you and then one of us. What he does is Joe gets four, you get four, I get four, you get four, Joe gets four. And that, interesting things can happen, because then you end up on a different point of the part of the tune.
Yeah.
So I'm not against it. When I do it on stage, I don't do the bass with the trading thing. Sometimes it comes up, not a lot. But that's personal. That's a personal energy thing for me.
Yeah.
You know. So but it doesn't mean it's not cool to do, not fun to do, that you shouldn't do it. You know.
It's funny, you threw me for a second, because I was like, oh, you're gonna trade four, so you're gonna go, then I'm gonna go. And then you looked at Wojtek when you stopped, and I was like, oh, he's gonna play.
Yeah,
I don't
know
if you did that on purpose
or
if that's just you were just happened to be turning that. I don't know what it was.
Somebody
had
to take it, and there was.
No, you weren't.
I was kind of trying to communicate
aiming,
to Rob.
Right.
I was supposed to play. Because at first I didn't play. I thought, oh, what is he putting in?
You know, but that's all those little signal things. That can happen too. Like, we're doing the trading. If you don't come in on one, everybody's like, oh! Am I wrong? And then something else happens.
Yeah.
It only takes one of us to hesitate.
Yeah.
To put the whole thing in.
Yeah.
So, you know, that just stuff you keep working on, keep doing.
Covered. You were like
working on.
I think then you looked at me and I was like, oh. Okay.
Yeah. Because we did two choruses of it, and on this tune we didn't go down to fours. We kept it eights.
Yeah, I've noticed.
You
is
know,
that common? Is that what you do?
Yeah, sure. You can do either. I find sometimes I break it down to fours too often. We just keep it eights.
Yeah.
You know, I've done. I like to do sometimes where you do half the tune, you do 16s, and then eights, and then fours, sometimes twos. Twos are fun, but
whoever starts dictates that, right? Like if you did two, then it would be
yeah,
like,
and
okay.
Some of it's a little understood or instinctual, or you just kind of look for. You can tell if I'm done playing. You'll be able to tell by the way I stand and what I do with the horn. Like
yeah.
You just keep
that's
an eye
how
on
I
me.
Do.
I'm gonna,
yeah, that's how I
even
do.
If I'm not trying to signal to you, it's going to be clear.
Yeah.
Now you're not always going to be fortunate, and I don't mean to say it that way. That's a stupid way to say it. But you're not always going to play with people that are that clear, right? I've been doing this a long time. So when I'm done, even if I take three choruses, and we're not talking about training, you can kind of tell when I'm about done.
That's
you know
true.
What I mean? And that's what we're trying to get to, is that naturalness to our playing, where we feel a flow, and we have a natural up and down, and it'll be clear to everybody what you're about to do. That could, there's a rapport comes from that, too, and it comes with the rapport. It's like a back-and-forth thing. Guys that know my playing know what I'm going to do before I do it, and I know what they're going to do before they do it. Once in a while, we surprise each other, you know. But that's a part of building a rapport, learning about the hearing it. It's all hearing and all that kind of stuff. It's just, it's a
I
part of it.
I felt a lot of clarity coming from you for this solo when I have to start. Like, there was something like, I was ready, like I knew, okay, I know exactly where it has
yeah,
to be.
Right. And I always find, you know, you trust those instincts. You know, if you feel like you're done, you're done. You know, like I always feel like some of my worst choruses are that extra chorus I shouldn't have took. And you know it right away. As soon as you go for that next one, you're like, oh, I'm not taking another chorus right now. What are you doing?
Yes.
This sounds terrible. And you spend the next 16 bars trying to get out of this hole you just dug for yourself.
Oh, man.
You know, it's just, it's a part of improvising. You know,
yeah,
it's a
yeah,
part
yeah.
Of being the master of your own destiny on stage and dealing with your own mistakes, you know. It was that one chorus. That thing I just played, that was perfect. Why did I keep going? What did I think I was going to gain from this? What
right.
You know. So that's the stuff that comes over time. I'm better at it, but I still make that mistake. You know, every once in a while, I was like, ah, man, that was dumb. I should be done right now. We should be in bass solo territory. What's going on here?
And everyone else is probably like,
why did he take this? Jesus, Volker, seriously, dude.
The guy in the back who's going to buy you a beer is like, yeah.
Yeah, dude, let's get out of here. Yeah. Hey, Tommy, we're going to the other place.
Oh, my God.
This is the other side of the spectrum, which is, like, when I was doing the solos, I don't do too confident. I try to just, I go once to the form, no risks whatsoever at that moment. No knowledge,
right.
But you know, the idea is I would stop right then.
Yeah, I was gonna,
and
I mean, even on that first tune,
okay.
I would have told you take more choruses, keep going. You know, because what happens is, that's when you learn. You know, when you get, they say you've got to exhaust the things you know you can play safely in order to get
right.
to the point where you find new things. So your next time you're playing a tune and you're going, I'm just going to take my one chorus, take two. Because that's the only way to get it moving forward, you know. There's nothing wrong with making mistakes. That's what you want to do. That's how you learn. That's how I learn. Trial and error. Make mistakes. Learn from them, you know. Don't be afraid of a second chorus or a third, you know. Because you want to have those experiences. I wasn't ready for a whole nother chorus. Okay, well, then I got to go back and start working on my lines so that I have more material or the ability to generate more material. How can I think about these chords in a different way so that I can have another chorus of stuff to play? And that just comes from trying. You know, what are they saying? Necessity is the mother of invention. So that's the kind of thing I would, that's, you know, don't be afraid to just keep playing, you know, and comping. You could comp a little more. To help support the chords over the form of certain tunes, like Nardis, for example, on the A sections. We play a little more on that, you know, just to fill it out, because it's slower, right? Things like that, you know. Do you record? You ever listen back to this stuff?
I do listen, because here
yeah, we record everyone.
Just posted, so, you know.
Everyone, man. I'm, like, pretty nuts about it.
We got a Google,
so
Google
many
thing.
Shit, so much shit in my 20s that I played. I don't have recordings of it. I'm like, I don't know. Was it good? I don't know. I think it was good, but I don't have recordings. Missed out on, you know, so it's just, why not, right?
Right.
Record everything.
You played guitar for many years.
Yeah.
So I do understand, you just started drums, though. That's what I understand.
In October, yeah. But
yeah,
I've been
but
playing.
But you played music for years.
I've been playing, guitar and all that other shit since.
All that other shit, I like that.
Well, I played saxophone in grade school, right?
Shit, it is
shit. In grade school, it's shit. Nobody plays well in grade school.
He doesn't have a recording, so he didn't know.
You don't know. I didn't have to take my word for it. It was amazing.
Man, I had a roommate who was a non-musician a couple years ago. He's a funny guy. And he moved away, and then he was in town one night, and he came by one of the clubs I used to play regularly. And he's sitting there, and I say, hey, man. He's like, it's good to hear you. I said, cool, man. Thanks for coming. He's like, oh, I'm just here to see this guy. He was there with his buddy. He's like, I've heard your squeaky madness before. And I fell apart, man.
Wow.
That's so good,
squeaky
dude.
Madness.
I've heard your squeaky madness before.
You don't forget that story.
I really lost
I
it.
Am surprised.
It
I'm like, oh, I'm just starting to play drums. They're like, that's cool. So, other than, you know, it does make no difference. Like, why would you even do that? Why would you bother to learn what?
Why not?
Yeah. Like, all right, because music isn't on their radar.
Sure.
What about a three? Do we want to do something at a three?
Do it.
Footprint? Do we know anything else at three?
No.
That's good.
So they happened.
Yeah, we're doing it. You're doing it right now, kid. You're doing it.
And this one sticks the whole time, right?
Should do totally, dude. Okay. Unless you're exceptionally inspired to not. And do your thing, you know. Playing in three and brushes is hard.
Yeah.
It's not physically symmetrical in the same way.
Okay.
It's
like
really tough.
Yeah. Well, I've been trying.
Shed
to
it and then do it next time on brushes.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. I did before. Wojtek usually comes over for my place for about an hour. And I was trying to do three with him. I'm like, this is.
Yeah, it's tough. It's real
yeah,
tough.
It's weird.
It's strange. And I'm sure there's a trick. I'm sure there's a few patterns, you know, motion patterns that would help. I don't know what they are, you know, but I'm sure there's some sort of a cheat. You know, I like to watch. I watch my buddies play. I watch drummers play all the time. You know, one time I was sitting on drums, and I used to know this elderly guy, Harold Lane, who's an old drummer. He passed away last year. Elderly guy, played with everybody. Played with Zoot Sims and Ben Webster, New Yusef Lateef. One of those guys, Boston guy, all his life. Played with everybody, played at Connolly's, played at the Cotton Club, played at the Jazz Workshop, all the joints. Old Wally's when it was across the street. One of those guys, right? And I remember he was he would come and play drums. We'd bring him and I'd set up drums, or he'd come and sit in on somebody else's drums a lot. I got to play with him a lot. And he was sitting at the bar with this young guy who was a drummer, and I'm sitting in on drums and I'm playing, we're trading eights or whatever, and he was, you know, old people, they can't whisper anymore, and they're deaf, and they say things out loud that they shouldn't. Or whatever. This wasn't. I heard him say really whack stuff out loud, trying to whisper to you. Hey, that chick's got big tits, or you know, whatever. And I was like, Harold, she can hear. They all heard you say that, dude. You know. But he was like that. And they're at the bar, and I'm training, and I heard Harold say to this kid, he says, "He's stealing our shit, man." And I was like, yes, I reached him. You know. But that's how I learned drums, is by watching the cats I play with.
Yeah.
That's where it's at, man. It's not in a book.
Right.
There's good stuff in books.
Practicing, right? You're getting chops and all that.
But you sit at the lily pad, you watch Luther do this in three, and he throws his hand this way. It's like a this thing. I can't do it, but it's incredible. It sounds amazing. You know, that's how you learn.
Yeah.
It's almost his entire drum solo was on a cymbal.
Yeah.
Just one cymbal.
Uh-huh.
It's amazing. He's got all kinds of sounds out of it.
Yeah, sure he does. And he'll do it, you know, like a lot of those guys, he'll do. Sometimes he does stuff you never heard him do before. Wow, what was that? He does this thing where he touches the end of the stick to the floor tom, and then you hit the cymbal and you let it clang on the cymbal, and it transmits the noise to the bass drum.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. He does something like that?
Yeah, yeah. And it transmits the sound. If you let it, like, make it, and then let it hang, yeah, it'll transmit the sound.
Oh, yeah.
Luther will do that all night if you let him. All right, you wanna start off a good tempo? We'll start vamping with you. When I come in, that's the top of the form.